From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. The president had a great week. He convinced his most dedicated adversary to reach a compromise. He spoke to adoring audiences and was hailed wherever he went as a source of hope. Then, sadly, he had to come back to America. We'll ask where he went for a little break, plus actor Ron Perlman, for once, gets to play the beauty to our beast, and Bill Curtis gets pretty excited when we tell him that, yes, we are doing limericks again this week.
Fantastic! Yeah!
We'll ask who really was so thrilled and why on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm aerialist and contortionist Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. Later on, we're going to be joined by actor Ron Perlman. Now, you know him, but you may not know what he looks like. He's done his most famous performances in really heavy makeup, like his caveman character in Quest for Fire back in the 80s, Hellboy in the two Hellboy movies, the Beast in the TV show Beauty and the Beast, and, of course, the hooker with a heart of gold in Pretty Women. a transformative performance. You can pretend to be anyone you like when you call us. We can't see you. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Kate Atkinson calling from Amherst, Massachusetts.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm so glad to hear it. Now, Amherst is, of course, a beautiful town in central Massachusetts, a college town. What do you do there?
I'm a family physician.
Oh, that's sweet. That's nice. So you're tending. That is sweet.
Why are they laughing today?
I don't know. I think they're laughing because right before we started, I told them to please laugh so we sound good, and they're just overdoing it.
I see.
Well, Kate, let me introduce you to our wonderful panel this week. First up, it's a comedian and the host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast. It's Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Alonzo.
Next, it's a reporter for the Washington Post style section. Roxanne Roberts is here.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, hi, Roxanne.
Finally, it's a comedian who will be performing at the Levity Live Comedy Club in West Nyack, New York, on November 20th through the 22nd. It's Maz Jobrani.
Hello.
Hey, doctor.
Hey.
So, Dr. Kate, we're going to start off, of course, with Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis, as he often does, is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, as I bet you know, is to correctly identify or explain two of them. If you do that, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to do this?
I hope so.
All right. Your first quote is from Chinese bloggers who were not liking a visitor to Beijing this week.
This is the American manner and humor. It is immature. No wonder he doesn't get any support.
So who failed to impress the people of China?
Well, I'm guessing that's President Barack Obama.
Indeed, Barack Obama. That's right. So President Obama reacted to the midterm elections by getting as far away from America as you can without leaving the planet. He wanted to go to Mars, but of course, that's a red planet. But even in China, he couldn't escape criticism. Mr. Obama appeared in public during one of the events in China chewing gum. That is a major faux pas over there. You can't do that. Now, it was nicotine gum, we believe, which he chews because he no longer smokes. Or, using the same logic, it could have been popularity gum.
So they were angry about him making a joke?
No, they were angry about the fact that he chewed gum and did not ride in the official Chinese limousine, instead going with an American limousine.
What I don't understand is, like, you're the president. Don't you have a guy on staff who's like, hey, China, don't chew gum? Like, just somebody whose job it is to teach you the protocol. Now, the limo thing, you know, he's got a Cadillac limousine. And if a brother has a Cadillac, he riding in a Cadillac. That's just, all right? You didn't get a Cadillac to not ride in it. Right? So.
The other, did you follow this? I'm sure you, Roxanne, were in on this. But the other big controversy,
the
in
Putin,
addition to the gun, the Putin,
Putin
thing.
Coat thing? Yeah. Putin, yeah, that was awesome.
Putin apparently at some public event with all the leaders and all their wives reached over and put his shawl around the shoulders.
He put his, it was an outdoor dinner, and he was having a conversation with China's first lady. And she must have said she was chilly because he's so smooth. I mean, just like, this was like James Bond smooth. He stands up and gently, very quickly, puts his coat over her shoulders so she's not cold.
Of course, being Putin, he was bare-chested under the coat. He just wanted to show that off. But he did this, and then, of course, it was very, very gallant, as they say. He then followed that act by declaring that she had always been a part of Russia and stationing tanks on her arms.
And yet Obama can't chew gum.
No.
Right?
Okay, Kate, here is your next quote.
Fantastic. Great. Sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to hug you. But I'm excited.
That was a scientist at the European Space Agency talking about a probe that landed where on Wednesday?
On a comet.
Yes, indeed. On a comet, or as I'm sure all of you nerds know, specifically on comet 67P, Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Now, it's important to note this was not an American mission. It was a European Space Agency that succeeded. The Americans tried this with another comet, but our probe just got getting close to the target and just yelled louder and louder, "Do you understand English? Would you stop? Would you? I don't under... Hello!"
So is this thing moving?
It's moving incredibly fast. It's a comet. It's moving
36,000 miles an hour?
Yeah, it's zipping through the solar system.
And so the probe that lands there is moving at that same speed?
Well, yeah, it was a 10-year mission. They launched this thing in 2004, and for 10 years, it's been zooming around out there.
But they were so cute. They were like, you know, giddy. They were jumping up and down.
Yeah, if you took 10 years, 10 years of anything, I'd be happy if I put in 10 years to get a cracker, and I finally got that cracker.
You know how proud you're. Like for 10 years, you've been working, and people are like, "What are you working on?" And they're like, "That's never gonna. What are you crazy?"
Yeah.
And you know, and all of this, and then it finally happens.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, "I did it!" Like as a rocket scientist, you've been a nerd all your life. You were cool for one day.
Yeah. All right. Here, Kate, is your last quote.
"It looks like a glazed Krispy Kreme donut."
That was a writer in Time magazine writing about a picture of what? That took over the internet this week.
Oh, can I have a hint?
Well, let's work this out.
Really a donut. I'd say.
Oh, the snowfall.
No. No. Hot cross buns.
Maybe more like that, Roxanne.
That's very close.
Breast of chicken.
I'm drawing a blank here.
No, wait a minute.
Saving children.
I know. I want to say that, Kate, I think the fact that you don't know this speaks so well of you. I think that by not knowing what the hell we're talking about, you have proved to yourself to be a valuable human being with the correct priorities. So I will tell you with some shame that we are talking about Kim Kardashian's naked butt.
Oh, yes, I never would have known that.
You never would have known that. Congratulations. Given the fact that Ms. Kardashian parlayed her fame from a leaked sex tape into a TV series in which we got to see her get bikini waxed, it's strange how shocked we are that she now has exposed her naked rear end. In the picture, she seems weirdly oily, as if she's been greased up and is about to be released at the county fair. And if you catch her, you win gonorrhea.
Sounds accurate.
There you go. Bill, how did Kate do in our quiz?
You know, we respect Kate so much for her position on this. I'm going to give her all three.
There you go. Congratulations, Kate. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I had a blast.
Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Maz, organizations everywhere these days are doing the best to promote diversity. Still, it surprised some people that what organization announced that it wants to become more racially diverse?
The Ku Klux Klan.
Yes, indeed.
And it's about time. I keep sending them applications. No, I'm kidding.
As Dr. Martin Luther King famously said, what the hell? The KKK has announced they'd like to recruit new members of all races and religions. It's weird. Now that the KKK has gone multi-culti, the only place left with exclusively white people will be a taping of Prairie Home Companion. Yeah, like we should joke, right, people? Like, our racial diversity is some of you came from Florida and you're slightly tan. That's what we got going.
Yeah, shouldn't you break up me and Maz to two different shows just to...
I know, this is a lot of color.
No, we have you on both together. We qualify for government grants. This is the whole thing.
There was years ago, a black man joined the Klan in Colorado. He did it online.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did it online, and he infiltrated them the whole, and they didn't know because he was just, you know, a member online, and he showed up in the rope. And he was a cop. It was a whole undercover thing, and he ended up getting them for, you know, conspiracies. And I don't know how it all works, but he was...
Well, the KKK is a perfect place to go undercover because you're actually undercover.
That's true.
Exactly.
You know, if Alonzo and I, because this is now they want people of color there, if Alonzo and I ended up at a Ku Klux Klan meeting together, we'd be like, I'd be like, dude, affirmative action? Yeah, affirmative action.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be like, hey, he's an Arab. Get him. Get him.
Hey folks, a quick shout out to one of the sponsors who helped make this podcast even possible. It's Barracuda Networks. For mid-sized businesses and large enterprises, protecting IT assets and data is a big deal. Barracuda can help. They offer cloud-connected security and storage solutions that provide real-time advanced threat protection to safeguard users and applications from vulnerabilities and to recover essential business data, including emails and files, virtual servers, and databases. Listeners of this podcast can learn more about Barracuda at barracuda.com/wait.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we are playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Alonzo Bowden, and Maz Jobrani. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Blaine calling from Denton, Texas.
Blaine from Denton, Texas?
That's right.
Now, where is Denton?
It's about 30 minutes north of Dallas.
And what do you do there?
I'm a student at the University of North Texas.
The University of North Texas?
Yes.
Now, I don't know the University of North Texas. What is their mascot?
Not many people do. It's really well known for our music program.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a musician, though, so...
It's a lot of good that does you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Blaine. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what's Blaine's topic?
Now, that's what I call music.
It's hard being a musician these days. Nobody pays for music anymore. And if you're U2, nobody even wants it for free. This week we saw a sign that the music business might be in even worse shape than we thought. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Guess which one of them, of course, is telling the truth. And you'll win our prize, scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. You ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. First, let's hear from Maz Jobrani.
Just when you thought the music industry might be back with Taylor Swift's new album selling almost 2 million copies, word is out that Usher will be releasing his new single at the bottom of a box of Honey Nut Cheerios. The place previously reserved for stickers and plastic rings is now where artists have to go to force people to pay for their music. The problem with this marketing plan is that now grown-ups are going to be seen by their kids digging through a box of Cheerios just to get to the treat at the bottom. How embarrassing when your six-year-old walks in on you holding a fistful of Honey Nut Cheerios in one hand and an Usher single in the other. You might have found the song, but you've lost your dignity. Usher's new single is called Clueless and is part of your complete breakfast.
Usher distributing his single as a prize in a box of cereal, Honey Nut Cheerios to be specific. Your next story of trouble in the music biz comes from Roxanne Roberts.
The producers of Britney Spears' Las Vegas show at Planet Hollywood Casino had a great idea for a viral video. Britney would dress up in her Catholic schoolgirl outfit for Halloween, then walk around the Vegas Strip and surprise delighted fans. Great, huh? Except nobody recognized the former Princess of Pop. One woman excitedly thought she was Carrie Underwood. Another guessed she was Paris Hilton. One drunk guy, dressed kind of like Justin Timberlake, told her, "Wow, you look just like Britney Spears." The 32-year-old singer coyly answered, "I get that a lot." But then he added, "But you're a lot older."
Britney Spears takes a stroll around Las Vegas and does not get what she bargained or hoped for. Your last story about the last days of the record industry comes from Alonzo Bowden.
Everything old is new again. Sony Records is getting out of the music business. Well, not out of the music business, but out of the new music business. Harold Grimes, a music executive at Sony, explained, "We've all seen a drop in the music business. However, there's no drop in love of the classics. That's where we're headed. From now on, we'll only be releasing remakes and samples of classic hits." The grittiness and street cred that Snoop brings to Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon has to be heard. I mean, it's like we're flying while drinking gin and juice.
All right, here are your three stories. One of them is true. Was it from Maz Jobrani that Usher has to release his new single in the bottom of a cereal box? From Roxanne Roberts, Britney Spears takes a stroll to meet her fans in Vegas and nobody recognizes her? Or from Alonzo Bowden, it's that Sony, instead of putting out new music, is going to get their artists just to redo the old music? Which of these is a real story from the music business of today?
Oh, well, now I wish I was a musician. I'm going to go with Britney Spears.
You're going to go with Britney Spears going for a walk in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And discovering that maybe she should just have gotten married overnight again to have a good time in Vegas.
Exactly. Maybe she should have shaved her head again. Maybe people would have recognized her then.
Well, all right. Your choice is Roxanne's story of Britney Spears finding out she doesn't have what she used to have. Well, we spoke to someone who actually covered this story for Billboard magazine.
Kids whose Honey Nut Cheerios were purchased at Walmart will find a brand new single by the singer Usher in their breakfast cereal.
That was Colin Stutz. He's a contributing writer for Billboard. And what he was doing, of course, was talking about the fact that Usher will be releasing the new single, not only in boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios, but in only Honey Nut Cheerios bought at Walmart. So you didn't win, but you did earn a point for Roxanne. And let me tell you something. Roxanne loves winning this game more than life herself.
Well, you're welcome, Roxanne.
Yes, it's really
I'm
true.
Sorry.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye. And now the game where we take successful people and force them to talk to people like us. Ron Perlman is a unique actor in that most of his well-known roles, like the lead in Quest for Fire, the TV show Beauty and the Beast, the Hellboy movies, he's so covered in extreme makeup you don't know what he looks like. And since we're on the radio, you will still never find out. Ron Perlman, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
so,
you for all of you that are clapping, thank you.
We found out that you have this extraordinarily loyal legion of female fans. And because we know this, because a while ago on the show, we did a segment, a quiz segment about you, in which it
right.
might have been perceived that we were casting some aspersions on your physical appearance.
And what happened then?
They came after us like a mob of furies. It was crazy. And
the wrath of the Pearl Girls.
And I found out, they call themselves Pearl Girls or Pearls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. along the same line, I put on a question on Twitter. I did not know your recent show, Sons of Anarchy. So I said, hey, everybody on Twitter, what episode should I watch to get some good Perlman action? And everybody wrote back with the same response, you should watch Beauty and the Beast. So I watched Beauty and the Beast. This is the show that you did back in the 80s where you were the Beast. Mm-hmm. And this show, I found out, had an amazing effect on the young women of America.
I couldn't tell what age they were by the penmanship.
For those who don't know, this is a show about this young woman in New York who meets, in tragic circumstances, this strange creature. He looks like kind of a man-lion dressed for a Renaissance fair. Mm-hmm. His name is Vincent. And they have this, and that's Ron, obviously, and they have this amazing and chaste, at least for the beginning, romance. Why do you think women in particular responded so powerfully to that show?
I think it was the fact that the relationship existed on a level that was not literal. It was very poetic. It needed to be poetic because, after all, these were two different species. And so we didn't want to get into the realm of animal husbandry and all. And I guess there's something incredibly resonant about a longing that takes place in people for something that bypasses carnality.
Was that a dog yipping, or were you doing Vincent for us?
No, that was my dog. There's somebody at my door.
Oh, jeez. Do you need to go get it? Because we can pause if you need to.
Can you?
Yeah, well, hey, man, you're Hellboy. I'll do anything for you.
I think I have to pause. There's
all right.
A lot going on over here. Yeah. Can you hang on?
I can hang on.
All right.
I don't know about you. I love this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's all right, man. You know, you were talking about Beauty and the Beast, and...
why don't we talk about Sons of Anarchy? That's a much funnier show.
Oh, that's the one where you kill a lot of guys.
Yeah.
There's
humor and mayhem.
There's humor and mayhem, but we also noticed that you appear as yourself without any makeup. One of the things you said is you got the role, or you were offered the role of Beast, is because you had your first two big movie roles, which were Quest for Fire and The Name of the Rose, you had a tremendous amount of prosthetic makeup, and you were known as a guy who could deal with sitting in the chair while they put that on. So is there, I mean, because you say that for...
And those were, in fact, my only credentials.
That was it. Like, oh, that guy, Perlman, he'll sit there. Is there a trick for sitting
they
in a chair?
They said to me, could you sing Happy Birthday? I said, no. They said, well, why don't you tell a joke? We'll see if you have any stage presence whatsoever. And that led to them saying, you know what, we'll fix it in post. Just put the makeup on.
Put the makeup on.
It'll only take you 4.5-5 hours a day. Oh. No one will know. Your own mother won't know you.
What do you do for 4 hours when they're putting makeup on you?
It depends on the gig. I mean, you know, Hellboy was Sinatra. Sinatra and Tom Waits. Margaret Becerra, who put on my makeup for Beauty and the Beast, She would alternate between watching The Wizard of Oz while she was putting that on. So that's every day for 9 months.
Wait a minute. She would, like, watch The Wizard? I mean, you do look a little bit like the Cowardly Lion. I don't know if anybody's...
And there's a reason for that.
Right. Did she ever
now
slip...
Now you know what it is.
Did she ever slip up and, oh, my God, you came under the set as the Tin Man. Damn.
One time I ended up with straw coming out of my...
Yeah, head. I understand.
And then she would alternate with listening to the soundtrack of... Les Miserables.
Oh, my God.
Ron, it's Alonzo Bowden, and I'm a big fan of Sons, and now that you've
just... You sound big, Alonzo.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
I'm a big guy.
Are you not mad at me, are you?
Nah, not in the least. Not in the least. I wouldn't mess with Clay.
I ain't mad at you neither.
But my question is, after the depth of all those characters you did, when you got to Clay, when you got to be on Sons, and some episodes it's like, hey... You're just going to ride a motorcycle and shoot people. Was that fun after, you know, the work you put into being an actor? Is it sometimes just fun to just let go and be a bad guy killing people?
Yep.
I heard that for all your writing...
You asked the funnest questions, Alonzo.
Well, I'll follow up Alonzo then. I heard that for all your riding around in Sons of Anarchy, you actually don't like riding motorcycles. Is that true?
Yes. No, I don't like riding a motorcycle. I'm very uncomfortable on one, and... my proudest achievement as an actor, and I've chronicled this on many occasions, so why not again here, is that, you know, for 6 years I played the president of the badassest motorcycle club in North America, and I never got my bike out of second gear.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's acting.
That's acting.
Particularly when you do that squinty thing as if you're going really fast. Ron Perlman, exactly. What a pleasure to talk to you. We have asked you here today to play a game we're calling...
Why, Mr. Perlman, you're beautiful.
Since you famously played the Beast, as well as many other characters with, shall we say, unique visages, we thought we'd ask you three questions about beauties. Get two out of three right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice, on their voicemail. Bill, who is Ron Perlman playing for?
Emma Gernetzky of Cape Town, South Africa.
That's far away.
Emma, if you're listening, I'm nervous.
All right.
This is for you.
All right. Here's your first question.
Dig down deep. Go ahead, man.
Here's your first question.
Hang on. Let me take a deep breath.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Should I play some Les Mis? Would that get you in the mood?
No, but a little Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Here's your first question. I think that if at any time during Beauty and the Beast, if Vincent had made that noise,
come up, come up.
I gotta watch the rest of it.
Can I share with the listening audience my favorite line from The Wizard of Oz?
From The Wizard of Oz, yes.
What makes the muskrat god is musk?
Bert Lahr. That's right.
Right?
That's awesome.
If you don't like that, you don't like ice cream, baby.
Yeah.
That was a lion.
Anyway,
that was a lion. Yeah, the
But I digress.
Here's the question. Your first question about beauty. Like everything else, the world of beauty and fashion is being changed by technology. Fashion designers may soon use which of these? A, fashion freeze, a Freon-based spray that can freeze a model's face into the proper expression of boredom.
Yeah.
B, Instalipo, a handheld liposuction device useful for struggling into skinny jeans. Or C, the HPR 4C fashion model robot from Japan, which can model clothes on any runway.
There's no D, all of the above.
No, there isn't. Only one of these things really exists.
I have to pick one?
You do.
Oh, well, clearly it's A.
You're going to choose A, fashion freeze?
Yes.
No, it was actually the robot. This Japanese fashion robot can walk the runway, make 8 different facial expressions, and date musicians. So that's good. Next question. You have 2 more chances. We can still win this. In China, a clothing catalog for teenage girls introduced a new model 1 year, became an instant sensation. Who is this model? Is it A plastic hanger on a coat tree, B, a 72-year-old man, or C, a very large goat?
Alonzo, what do you think?
Well, goats are always funny, but I don't know if a goat's modeling.
Yeah, no, I think it's B.
I think it's a 72-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one.
Yeah, I think it's B.
You think it's B. You are right. Both of you are, yes.
There we go.
The designer...
Almost home, baby.
The designer, looked at her grandfather and said, "Oh, you look pretty good," and particularly his very skinny legs. And he does, in fact, look good in these teenage girls' dresses.
He's wearing the dresses.
Yeah, he wears dresses, tights, sunglasses. He looks great. You have to look at him. In fact, you have to look at him twice to realize that it's not an adolescent girl; it's a 72-year-old grandfather. Last question: if you get this one right, you win. Designer Karl Lagerfeld of Chanel, very famous man. He has a model, Baptiste Giabicconi, he refers to as his muse. In fact, Lagerfeld loves this man so much, he did what? A, he commissioned a life-size chocolate model of him in his underwear, lying in a bed. B, he selectively bred Baptiste to 12 different female models in the hopes of creating a new breed. Or C, got a tattoo of Giabicconi's nude body, displaying a tiny tattoo of Lagerfeld's nude body.
I'm going with C.
You're gonna go with the recursive tattoo, the tattoo of the tattoo?
You bet.
No, I'm afraid it was A, the chocolate. It may be the weirdest piece of confectionery ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Bill,
I'm off chocolate right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Bill, how did Ron Perlman do in our quiz?
Well, that's too bad, Ron, because as a consolation prize.
Sure is.
Yeah, we were going to make a chocolate model of you.
Yeah. Give you a lot of chocolate.
I'm really kind of proud that I lost this one.
I think you should be. I think it's it's really another feather in your cap, as far as I'm concerned. Ron Perlman is the star of, among many other things, Hellboy, Beauty and the Beast, Sons of Anarchy. He's got a great, charming, funny memoir called Easy Street, The Hard Way. It's out now. Go get it if you love Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman, thank you so much for being with us today. What fun to talk.
Thank you, Ron.
Bye-bye.
Just a little change. Small to say the least. Both a little scared. Neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast. Ever just the same.
Big thanks to one of the sponsors of this podcast, that's Betterment. With nearly 50,000 customers, Betterment is an automated investing service designed to make you a smarter investor through leading technology. Betterment's cutting-edge software customizes and manages a portfolio for your financial goals now, later, and in retirement. Plus, it saves time and money while working to improve returns and minimize taxes. Betterment, investing made better. More at betterment.com/wait.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Alonzo Bowden, Maz Jobrani, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Bill. In just a minute, Bill makes like 1985 Stevie Wonder when he becomes a part rhyme lover. I feel we're back in our game now. I'm happy about this. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, this week a scientist in Germany announced he has found a way to create diamonds from what?
I guess carbon is not the correct answer.
Well, it is carbon. Chemically, it's necessary, but it's the interesting thing is the source of the carbon.
Dead people's ashes?
No. That's old. I'll give you a hint. These diamonds are especially great for choosy mothers.
Choosy mothers choose Jeff.
Yes, which is?
Peanut butter.
Yes, indeed. That's the answer.
Wait.
That's right, peanut butter.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Scientist Dan Frost, working in Germany, has come up with a whole new way for you to disappoint your wife. Peanut butter diamonds. It's simple. Diamonds, as you say, were made of carbon. Peanut butter is rich in carbon. So you just squeeze it hard, wait, and try to keep away the dogs who are trying to lick your lab. Frost was able to simulate conditions of high pressure found deep in the earth and created a tiny peanut butter diamond. They are very small so far, and if you use peanut butter from a health food store, they have this gross layer of oil on top.
So now I'm going to stop feeding my kids peanut butter and jelly, just jelly, because the
peanut butter
costs. Peanut
butter's too valuable.
Yeah.
No, in order to make the diamond, they'd have to bite down really hard on that peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I'll put my kids to work.
Yeah, hell. Alonzo, you've got your new swimsuit, if you're going on vacation, your beach books, you're ready to go. But now, thanks to a plastic surgeon in New York, you can also bring along vacation what?
Abs.
You are very close. This is true for women. This is something women can do.
Oh, for women?
Yeah.
Vacation butt?
No. Go the other
boobs.
Way. Yes, vacation boobs. That's what they are. They're temporary breast implants. Or in the words of plastic surgeon Dr. Norman Rowe, vacation breasts. That's what she calls them. Vacation breasts is a term usually used by men who are looking for something, not women who are taking it along. For less than $3,000, you can get a specially formulated injection, and you've got bigger boobs for 2 to 3 weeks until they, I guess... What would be the word? Deflate? I don't know. The plastic surgeon says they're perfect for special occasions like a wedding or a vacation or a great first date and then a really super disappointing second date.
I live in L.A. where fake boobs are more or less the norm, but why would a woman want to spend that much and go through all that just to have them for 2 weeks? I mean, if you're going to do it, why not just get the surgery and get them done? Only want free drinks at the beach?
I guess so.
A cheaper version would just to have a bee sting your boob. That's the cheap version.
I guess.
That's the really cheap version.
Yeah.
But that might be a little uneven. You know?
Hey, it's just for the vacation, just 2 weeks.
You got to have two bees.
Two bees. You need two bees.
Alonzo, the Discovery Channel, as you may know, has been very successful broadcasting dangerous stunts, including just recently the guy who walked blindfolded between skyscrapers in Chicago. But people are upset about an upcoming program in which another man will do what?
Allow himself to be eaten by an anaconda.
You are so right, what? Alonzo. That's right. Eaten alive. The show is called Eaten Alive. It will be broadcast on December 7th. And it will show a man putting on a, quote, snake-proof suit and then getting a giant snake to eat him whole, presumably by saying, bet you can't eat me, bet you can't eat me. Animal rights activists, as well as normal people, have been objecting to what they call animal cruelty. Animal cruelty, come on, getting to eat one of us is every animal's dream. After all we've done to them, it's one for their side.
And I wonder what's this suit? I wonder who makes that. Is it Gap or something?
Probably.
This is the dumbest idea ever.
Really?
There's
a long list of really, really stupid things.
Like, who sits around and comes up with this idea? Like,
well, you gotta get on the Discovery Channel. Now, the reason I knew this was I was on another show and they were talking about it, and a snake expert came in. And he said he doesn't believe it. He said he thinks the whole thing is staged, that you couldn't actually do this. And if an anaconda did swallow you, you're done. Like, they can't pull you back out. So I don't know how they did that. But I'm rooting for the anaconda.
Oh, absolutely. Quick shout out to thank our sponsor, Emma. It's not a person named Emma. That would be nice. Most Emmas I know are nice. It's a company. These guys offer tools for email marketing. With Emma, you can create sophisticated automated email campaigns and deliver targeted messages to your audience. The interface is really intuitive, so your team can create great-looking emails in a drag-and-drop editor and track the results easily using an interactive click map that shows where people are clicking on your email. Emma's great for marketing teams or agencies who want to upgrade from the more DIY services but don't want the complexity and expense of an enterprise system. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for that rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the contact link on our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. While you're there, you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in New Jersey on the 4th of December. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian show you finally how to sweat the right way. You've been doing it wrong. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
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 Hello. No, hi, who's this?
I'm Susan Williams.
Hey, Susan, where are you calling from?
Shelter Island, New York.
Shelter? I have no idea where that is. Where is that?
Well, Long Island splits into two forks, and we're on the east end of Long Island between the north and the south fork.
Oh, really? So you're out there. Why do you live in a small island between the two forks of eastern Long Island?
That is a good question. And if you have an answer, I'd like to know.
Yeah. Well, Susan, welcome to our show. Bill Curtis is going to perform for you now. He's going to interpret three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Here's your first limerick.
The old factory guide that we sell tells how York casts a lingering spell. From the fragrance of grass to the whiff of burnt gas, come tour our fine city by...
The Dell.
Well, there are some clues there. Where the word fragrance is a clue. Rhymes with spell.
Hell.
Hell! It's smell is the answer.
Oh, okay.
The tourist board in York City in northern England knows that our sense of smell is our strongest sense. So they've created the Smell York Guide. It's a kind of scratch-and-sniff guide to the town's most fragrant sights, the chocolatiers, the gardens, and something described, quite seriously, as the haunting aroma of ghosts.
Oh, darn it.
Which we believe is just the English way of blaming the dog. All right, you still have two chances. You've had one to practice. Doesn't count. Here, you get these two, we'll win. Here is your next limerick.
As I'm trying to make out this sum, my mind's going blissfully numb. Without any pain, a germ saps my brain. A virus is making me...
dumb.
Yes, dumb.
She got it.
Researchers say a virus found in green algae is making us all dumber. They've known about the virus for years, but this is true. They assumed it wasn't transmissible to humans. Well, not only is it, 40 out of the 90 people studied in the study had the virus. When asked about this shocking finding, one doctor said, huh, did you see that picture of Kim Kardashian's butt? All right, here is your last limerick. If you get this, you'll win. Here we go.
R&D should have used some more Vitos. This drink's pesky, like swarms of mosquitoes. I just took a few sips, and I taste flavored chips. Mountain Dew has been crossed with...
Could you read it again?
Yes, you can.
R&D should have used some more Vitos. This drink's pesky, like swarms of mosquitoes. I just took a few sips, and I taste flavored chips. Mountain Dew has been crossed with...
Doritos.
Yes, Doritos. Doritos.
Thank you.
If you've ever wished you could get that morning after a kegger taste in your mouth without having to drink too much, now you can. Pepsi has created Dewitos, a Frankenstein-like combination of Mountain Dew and Doritos, now being tested on college campuses. One student who tried it said, it's like you shoved a handful of Doritos in your mouth and chugged some Mountain Dew at the same time, unquote. What remains unexplained is why in God's name would anybody ever want to do that?
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Have the stoners really gotten that lazy?
Apparently.
I mean, at a certain point, you just got to pick up your Doritos and your Mountain Dew. You've got two hands.
I know. Well, one hand is holding the bowl. The other hand grabs the Doritos. Then you're like, wait a minute. And then you put down the Doritos and you pick up the Mountain Dew and you're like, wait a minute. And then you... So this makes it...
You know, it's like the peanut butter and jelly together in one jar. Again, when you're that lazy, it's like, no, like that... How hard is that for you to mix the peanut butter and jelly? You're like, I really can't. I'm going to need that pre-mix.
Who's got the time?
Exactly.
Yeah. Bill, how did Susan do in our quiz?
2 out of 3.
Hey, well done. Congratulations, Susan.
Thank you.
It's time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne and Alonzo each have 3. Maz has 2.
All right, Maz, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. Countering reports that he had been injured in an airstrike, the leader of blank released another call to arms on Thursday.
ISIS.
Right. George W. Bush told Face the Nation that there was a 50-50 chance that blank would run for president.
His brother.
Jeb. Yes. Both Facebook and Google announced new campaigns to help combat the spread of blank in Africa.
Ebola.
Right. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported that 4 of their websites had been blanked.
Hacked.
Right. The British National Party forgot to tweet about blank until a day later.
About their party.
No, they forgot to tweet about Remembrance Day. This week, Warren Buffett announced plans to purchase the blank battery company for $4.7 billion.
Duracell.
Right. An appeals court in Italy overturned the manslaughter convictions of 6 scientists who failed to predict a deadly blank.
Earthquake.
Right. The notably conservative and anti-gay stars of A&E's Duck Dynasty announced this week that their newest project will be blank.
Gay.
You're almost right, but you needed to be more specific. Their newest project will be a Duck Dynasty musical based in Las Vegas. The family's patriarch, Phil Robertson, told the New York Times that they're putting together a Las Vegas musical review because nothing says, I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, quite like doing jazz hands while wearing bright orange hunting pasties. Bill, how did Maz do in our quiz?
He got 6 right for 12 more points. He has 14 in the lead.
Well done, Maz. That was a very strong showing.
All right. So good.
We have flipped the coin. Roxanne has elected to go last. So, Alonzo, you're up
Can
next.
I just go on record saying I'm afraid to beat Roxanne?
You should be.
No.
I think that's wise. Nobody.
I'm feeling generous. It's almost, you know, approaching Thanksgiving.
She's got a sharp pen in her hand, buddy.
Here we go, Alonzo. Fill in the blank. NATO officials reported that Russian tanks crossed the border into blank on Wednesday.
Ukraine.
Right. Courts in Kansas and South Carolina ruled in favor of issuing marriage licenses to blank.
Gay people.
Yeah, same-sex couples. On Thursday, Hachette Publishing and Amazon announced they had settled a dispute over the pricing of blank.
E-books?
Yes. A man in Washington was busted for robbery when he mistook a blank for his getaway car.
Police car.
Exactly. When Buddy Velastro, star of TLC's The Cake Boss, was pulled over for drunken driving in New York City, he told police blank.
He was on his way to bake something?
No, he said, "You can't arrest me. I'm the cake boss."
Hilarious.
Animal control officers in Paris were dispatched after a woman spotted a blank in a supermarket parking lot.
A deer?
No, a tiger. French tiger. He eats all these people who eat butter, yet he stays so thin. Police in Norway, responding to emergency calls about screams coming from an apartment, raided the building and found blank.
A brothel?
No, they found a man upset that his computer just beat him at chess. Norwegian police had received several reports of screams coming from an apartment building in Oslo, and they sent a patrol car to investigate. When they arrived, police found that the screams were coming from a man alone yelling at his computer for beating him in a game of chess. As per the man's demands, they arrested the computer and charged it with showing off.
Hey, Peter.
Norway.
Yeah.
Next time I'm on, can you come up with some more obscure questions to ask me? As, you know, tigers and chess games. What are you giggling about? You got ISIS. How hard is that? Come on.
Bill Alonzo doesn't think he did very well. How well did he do?
He did pretty well. 4 right, 8 more points. He got 11 points, but that means Maz is still in the lead with 14.
Even though I know Roxanne knows, would you tell the rest of us how many she needs to win?
6.
Here we go.
6 to win.
This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Senators said that they could vote on approving the blank pipeline as early as Tuesday.
Keystone.
Right. Emergency crews had to rescue 2 window washers dangling from scaffolding on the 68th floor of the blank.
Of the new World Trade Tower.
Yes, one World Trade Center. In a non-binding referendum, a majority of Catalan citizens voted for independence from blank.
From Spain.
Right. On Wednesday, President George W. Bush referred to President Bill Clinton as his blank.
As his son.
No, as his brother from another mother. And according to a new study, the worst day for traffic in Los Angeles is blank.
The worst day
for traffic.
Every day.
You're so close, but it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. After receiving dozens of emergency calls this season, first responders are urging citizens to avoid calling 911 if they blank.
If they get lost in a corn maze.
You're so good, Roxanne. That's right. Corn mazes are growing in popularity, so they're getting bigger. They're staying open later. That means that more and more people are going into them drunk. And in their panic, they're calling 911 for help when they get lost. In the end, this is really just payback for the corn, which is forced to go through a person maze every single time you eat it. Bill, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She got 4 right for 8 more points, a total of 11, which means Maz is the champion this week.
Yay!
14.
Snappy.
So, Maz, did you know there was a tiger in a French parking lot?
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what the European space probe will discover on that far-off comet. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And eSurance, with a mobile app that lets users report claims, get a quote, and monitor repairs at eSurance.com. Welcome to the modern world. The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And Subaru, featuring the all-new Subaru Outback. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord, Philip Kotika, writes our limericks, our house manager is Mr. Don Hall, assistant house manager is Tyler Green, our intern is Kel, C is for Cookie, that's good enough for Hardison, our web guru is Beth Novi, special thanks to John Zajac, and DJ Les Delarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Anne Nian. Our production coordinator is Mr. Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Linwood Danforth. Now, panel, what will they find on that far-off comet? Maz Jobrani.
Kim Kardashian's clothes.
Roxanne Roberts.
Weapons of mass destruction. Finally, mission accomplished.
Alonzo Bowden.
They'll find that really cool bar from Star Wars. And out in the parking lot will be a tiger for some unknown reason.
Well, if any of those things are found on that comet, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Alonzo Bowden, Maz Jobrani, and Roxanne Roberts. Thanks to all of you for listening. You're the best. You are, every single one of you. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.